Well, amen. It's good to see you guys. Amen. How many are glad you're here? How many of you don't know? It's a joy to be with you guys in Hammond again and just sharing together what the Lord's doing and just being able to be a part of the harbor today. And I'm excited about what God's going to do today. I got to tell you, Trish and I woke up this morning with tiptoe anticipation for what God's going to do today. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? And I really think the Lord's going to show us more.
I forgot something really important. This is their 34th anniversary today.
Come on. Stand up.
Come on, come on. And they chose to be with us, so I feel honored.
It's yeah, she does, doesn't she? Our oldest son, Adam, it was kind of funny. He's a captain for United Express Jets. And anyway, they were living in Monterey. This is about 6 months ago. They recently relocated to Houston. But anyway, he was flying his mom out to stay with his wife, who had some surgery, just kind of a light surgery, you know, minor surgery. You know the difference between minor surgery and major surgery? Major surgery is what they do on me. Minor surgery is what they do on you. Because of the difference. Anyway, she has a minor surgery. And so she gets on the plane, and he comes running down the aisle at the last minute and sits down beside her, surprises her because he can fly anywhere he wants to on United. And so she's sitting there, and the stewardess comes up and started talking to him, said, "Captain, we're glad you're here," and da-da-da-da-da. "We're glad that you brought your girlfriend or your sister with you." He said, "That's not my sister, that's my mother." So I'm glad to be married to somebody who looks like my kid's sister. Amen. Whenever you got blonde hair like me, you just take all the breaks you get in life. Amen. And so we're glad to be here. It's good. I want to say, first of all, thank you, Trish and I. We're honored to be here today with you. And it'll be just an emotional moment. God's done so much in us. In this region and in this area. But not only that, in our kids. And I want to say thank you for what you have sown into my family. I don't take that lightly. But my kids talk about the things that you have spoken to them. And they talk about what they received in Hammond, here at Harbor, in their education. And I feel like that today, as a first fruit unto the Lord, I need to say thank you for what God has done. Amen. Can I do that today in gratitude in the Lord? Let's give the Lord the hand for the seeds that we can sow in people's lives. Okay, I got my crybaby out of the way. Now I can... I want to talk to you guys about several things that I think that are very significant prophetically. Today's going to be a real prophetic time. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I'll be over there after a while. And if you would, I'm going to give you a lot of prophetic things that I'm seeing for 2017. And I want you to write down what you can and what you can't. Get a watch the video or get a CD or get online, whatever. You'll want to get these things. And I'm going to give you, and it's going to be rapid fire today quite a bit. But I want to do something in the middle of what I believe the Lord is saying to us to do today. And Marvin does not know what I'm going to do. Tim does. And so we'll ask forgiveness after a while. All right, but nevertheless, it's going to be something I think that is very, very important, and I'm going to talk about it about middle ways through what I'm saying today, okay, because I really believe that the Lord's going to do something for us, but I'm going to give you a heads up so you can start praying and preparing right now, all right? I believe today is a first fruit for this year. I believe that. I got a call from a friend of mine this morning early, And he said, you know, God's really speaking to me about first fruits. I said, you know, it's really interesting you say first fruits, because I believe any time that we have the first day of the year on our day of worship, it's a first fruit unto the Lord. Amen. And so what we're going to do is, I'm going to talk about it here in just a moment, but we're going to receive a first fruit offering in just a moment, all right? Now, let me tell you about first fruits before we get there, and then when we get there, we'll receive it, and then I'm going to show you how we're going to appropriate that, okay? But first fruit offerings were very interesting in the Old Testament. And I say this because I believe that what we've done in Christianity, we have forgotten first fruits. We made first fruit the tithe, but the first fruit offering and the tithe are totally different. Because the first fruit offering basically is an offering of the harvest. It was instituted through the agricultural side of it in the feast of harvest, whenever they would bring the first fruit offering unto the Lord. And it was interesting because the way the Lord set this thing up, it would be as if the first tomato, when they would go to the field, pull the first tomato off of the vine, they would take that tomato and they would present it to the priest as a first fruit offering unto the Lord. If they did not give it to the priest, they had to throw it on the ground, and they had to crush it into the ground, because the first was holy to the Lord. Say, the first is holy to the Lord. Whenever they would have cattle, the heifer, and they brought the heifer in, and the heifer had her first calf. The first calf from that heifer was given to the priest as a first fruit offering unto the Lord. And if they did not give that calf to the priest, they had to break its neck, kill it, and they had to bury it because it was holy to the Lord. So first fruits back in the Old Testament talks about that which is holy to God. And I began to teach this back in whenever I pastored for 32 years, been in ministry 41. But whenever I pastored, we practiced first fruits. And I taught our folks, you know, you give first fruits. And so today, I got up early this morning. The Lord says, I want you to give a first fruit to me today. And he said, I want you to lead the congregation to give a first fruit offering. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And it was interesting because I really believe that whenever we give first fruits to the Lord, what we're doing is we're honoring God and what God is wanting to do in our life. Now, let me tell you how first fruits may operate in today. And then we're going to take up a first fruit offering in just a moment. And, you know, I want you to give a first fruit offering. It may be a dollar. It may be $5. It may be 10, 20, 50, 100, maybe 1,000. I don't know. You need to ask the Lord what your first fruit offering is. But whenever I was teaching first fruits, what I did was, is I taught our people, like whenever they would get a raise. Let's say, for instance, they got a $50 raise on their check. Let's say they got paid every 2 weeks. They got a $50 raise. That first $50 raise was holy to the Lord. So I taught them to take that first $50 raise, give the whole $50 to the Lord. And then after that, they would just give $5 tithe off the $50 raise. What we saw happen among our people was God began to open up the wells of provision over them in ways that was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And we began to operate in first fruit offerings to the Lord. And Trish and I today, we still offer a first fruit offering to the Lord. We present it to our apostle, and we give that first fruit offering, and we have seen unbelievable things begin to happen. And so in just a few moments, we're going to receive a first fruit offering. And I want you to just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? And listen, do not be embarrassed about the amount. Do not be concerned about the amount. You ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? God says a dollar, it's a dollar. If it's five, 10, 500, 1,000, whatever, it doesn't make any difference, the amount. The first is holy to the Lord. This is the first day of the year. And so what we're doing is we are sowing our first fruit offering to the Lord. Now, I know we all gave our tithes today. I understand that. But we're going to say to the Lord, Lord, we're going to give a first fruit offering, and then I'm going to show you how we're going to present it whenever I get about halfway through today, okay? Is that all right? Can we do that? And it's really going to be encouraging in the Lord. Let me just give you a quick first fruit testimony of Trish and I, what we did. Now, I have friends, two friends of mine, Chuck Pierce and Dennis Davis, both who pastor congregations in Texas. They practice first fruits every month. Some people do it once a year, once a month, or whatever. That's something that, you know, is totally among the congregations. But Trish and I were practicing the first fruits. She needed a car. I sold her car last year. We hadn't bought her a car back. She was driving mine, and we just kind of shared a car. And so in December, the 1st of December, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm tired of your wife having to borrow your car. You need to go buy her a car. I said, but Lord, what kind of car do you want me to buy her? He said, you ask her what she wants and go buy her the car. Now, how many of y'all know that's dangerous whenever you're... So I said, okay. So I went and asked her and she told me the kind, the color, down to the interior color of the car. So I said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to sow a first fruit offering to the Lord for the car. And we did. We looked around, and all the cars that we were looking at that she was interested in were about $21,000, $22,000 where we live. I made a phone call, flew to Houston, and bought the car for $16,000 because of the first fruit offering I sowed to the Lord. Amen? How many of y'all know that's a miracle? The salesman, when he was selling me the car, says, I don't know why I'm selling this so cheap. When I got there, he knocked another $500 off the car. And he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I got to share with him about first fruits, and I got to share with him about the Lord. The dude got excited. I thought he was going to start dancing right there in the Infinity, showroom. But I believe, I believe that God honors first fruit offerings. You cannot convince me after doing this for 41 years what we have seen in first fruit offerings to the Lord and how it has opened up for Trish and I and opened up for the windows of heaven over us, because I believe this year is a tremendous year. Now, let me get started, okay? This year, Hebraic year, is 5777. It's a year of the sword. How many of y'all knew that? All right. In the Hebraic year, 5777 is the year of the sword. Three things particularly are happening prophetically this year that you need to know. Three things are going to happen by the year of the sword. The sword of the Lord is coming in order to open portals of vision, number one. Number two, wells of revival. And number three, places of provision. Those are the three things God's opening over us this year. And that's one of the reasons we're going to do a first fruit offering in just a moment to the Lord. And so what we got to understand is 5777 has come in through the Day of Atonement this past year, which was back in September. What happened was we began to operate under an open heaven where the sword of the Lord came not to destroy but to open up. Turn to your neighbor and say, to open up. So what God is doing over us now, he is opening up over us portals of vision. In other words, we're going to have fresh new vision coming into this year. We both woke up excited this year, this morning, over this coming year. Number one, we're celebrating 34 years of marriage. But number two, we're celebrating the fact that this is a year where God's going to bring us into a place of abundance where we've never been before. Because the sword of the Lord is opening portals of vision that's going to give us clarity to step into what we're doing. Listen to me. The scripture says in Proverbs that where there is no vision, the people perish. What it means is where there's no prophetic insight and vision, the people become unrestrained and they perish. But I'm telling you, this year, God is opening prophetic vision over us to be able to walk in the fullness of what he's created us to do. Number two, wells of revival are opening up this year. Things that we have contended and prayed for, God now is bringing us into. Listen to me. This is not a time to be weary and well-doing. This is a time to contend and press on into your glory, because you're not going to live this year without the glory of the Lord resting upon you. You hear me? Turn to your neighbor and say, the glory is going to rest on you. Listen, the only reason you won't have the glory of the Lord resting on you is if you don't want it. Now, if you don't want it, that's called being a fool. But a wise man chooses the glory of the Lord. Amen? Because, see, God's bringing wells of revival, but he's also opening up for us places of provision. Listen to me. This is a year. Hear me, church. Please hear me. This is a year where provision is coming. The seed that you have sown will produce harvest beginning in 2017 that will not end with this year, but will carry you through a season of time where you will begin to see seed time and harvest is a reality of the kingdom, and that God has brought us into a place of provision. I'm not talking about pots of money dropping out of the air. I'm talking about the provision of God carrying you forward. Amen. Now, that'll mean money, yes, but that's also going to mean health, blessing in your marriage, blessing in your children. Some of you are going to get pregnant and have children, and those kids are going to be blessed this year. Amen. Some of y'all saying, oh no, I don't want that line. Some of you ladies are going to get pregnant this year, and this year God's going to give you a child, a blessing. You know why? Because he is opening up places of provision for us. And provision, yes, can be money, but it can be other things. Some of you guys are going to step into new jobs this year. And when you step into new jobs, you're going to start making more money than you've ever made in your life. You're not going to know how to handle it. Because the place of provision has been opened up by the sword of the Lord coming down. Now listen to me. Say, I'm listening. Say this with me. The sword of the Lord is not to destroy, but to open up. So you got to see that what God's doing is he's cutting things open for us. So this is a year where we begin to see this. This is also a year of forward momentum. One of the things that I've written down that I'm going to be writing about a lot in on my website this year, ronteal.org, y'all go visit us sometime, is that this is a year of forward momentum. Momentum is the strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger and faster as time passes. In other words, God is going to put you on the fast track. And this year is the year of such forward momentum that we're going to have to learn how to forget what lies behind and reach forward unto the things which are before us. Let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said, not that I've already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You know what he was saying? Something got a hold on me, now I got to get hold on it. Listen, the Lord got a hold on you, but you ain't got a hold on him yet. But this year is a year where you're going to start laying hold of what got a hold of you. Amen. How many of y'all believe you've laid hold of everything the Lord has put on you? I hadn't. Guess what I'm doing this year? I'm laying hold of what was laid hold of me. Somehow or another, he got a hold of me, but I'm going to get the fullness of it this year. And I've been walking in this a long time. And here's the beauty of the Christian experience. The Christian experience is not about reaching a place. It's about a journey of a relationship that releases more. You hear me? Listen, being a Christian is not about getting to a place in life where you say, okay, I've attained. Are you kidding me? This is a journey of relationship where you wake up in the morning and say, God, what else am I going to be surprised by today? Because the more of the Lord is over us. And so I'm going to scare you. I'm going to give you 12 things right quick, all right? So right fast. This is a time to reframe your life back to God's original intent. You need to reframe your life back to God's original intent in your life. If you're going to walk in the forward momentum of the Lord, you got to reframe your life. In other words, you got to get back to what God created you to be. So many Christians today are walking in somebody else's vision. Listen to me. The sword of the Lord this year is opening portals of vision for you. You don't have to be like Ron Teal. You got to be like who God created you to be. But I will tell you this. If you will step into that, you'll be greater than Ron Teal. It's just the way it is. Jesus looked and said, you see John the Baptist? He's great. But I'm telling you, the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Do you understand that today if the Lord Jesus was looking here, he'd look at Marvin Poole and say, Marvin Poole, do you realize that you're greater than John the Baptist? Because you're in the kingdom. Isn't that crazy? Some of us think, God, how is that? How could that be? John was such a great man. I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen to me. You are great by the hand and the counsel of the Lord over your life. And you get to step into what God created you to be, touch lives that no one else can touch, say things that no one else can say, and have an impact where no one else can have an impact. You are divinely created by the hand of the Lord. Live in the momentum of his kingdom in your life. Amen. Reframe your life and get back to God's original intent. Secondly, it's time to recalibrate your time. You need to recalibrate time. Time needs to take a new dimension for you. Trish and I were talking this morning over a cup of coffee how we're recalibrating our time. We're changing our whole time right now. And the truth is, many of us need to recalibrate our time because the Lord is demanding some things of us in order to bless us and to carry us in the momentum. Listen to me. If the God is going to bring momentum in your life, he's going to cause you to be able to walk in a system of time unlike that which is in the world. Amen? Turn your neighbor and say, how would you like to be transported? How would you like for God to pick you up in one place and drop you down in another because he has an assignment for your life? How many of you would like to recalibrate your time to the place that the Lord is able to redeem your time? You're able to get 15 hours of work done in 8. You're able to walk at a recalibration of time because, you see, we think of time as something that has a finiteness to it. God sees time as infinite. So that means God can do through you what you can't do in the time that you have. So you got to have the recalibration of time. Number three, you have to move into your assignment rather than your ministry. Let me park here just for about a minute. Ministry is not greater than your assignment. Your assignment is greater than your ministry. Jesus left Galilee. How many of y'all know when he left Galilee, there were more people that needed to be healed, more people that needed to be saved, more people that needed to be blessed when he left Galilee? Would you agree with me on that? He's headed down and he goes through Sychar in Samaria. And you know what the scripture says? He must needs go through Sychar. Why? Because there was an assignment at a well in Sychar, not ministry. Say assignment is always greater than ministry. He stops, talks to a woman. She goes into town, tells all the men in town what was going on. They all came out, and for 3 days he stayed in Sychar. Why? Because he had ministry? No, because he had what? But after 3 days, what did he do? He went on. He had to go down to Judea. You know why he had to go to Judea? Because he had an assignment down there. Listen to me. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let ministry get in the way of our assignment and never fulfill what God put us here to do. But if you will walk in assignment and if you will live your assignment, you will fulfill ministry everywhere you go. Amen? And see, the truth is, you got to understand, this year is a year where you move into your assignment and you understand that the assignment is where you become fruitful. Number four, this is a season to live by the prophetic word and vision over your life. You need to go back and reread what God said about you. Apostle Marvin talked about this just a few moments ago whenever I had given him a word about new shoes and so on and so forth last year and what God has done in their family. And I'm going to blow them out with another one here in a few minutes. But the truth is that God is bringing us into a new place where we have to live by the prophetic visions and the prophetic words that he has spoken over our lives. Listen, if you've gotten prophetic words, go back and listen to them. Go back and reread them. Pull them down off the shelf. Blow the dust off of them and believe God as if they were just spoken to you. Because you see, when God speaks to us, it is because he wants us to walk into the fullness of what he's called us to do. Because if we're going to move into that place of momentum, we're going to have to move into that place where we say to the Lord, Lord, I am going to go forward. I will not be still. I will not be detoured. I will not be distracted. But God, I will move forward in the momentum of the kingdom. Number five, this year is a year where fruit is greater than firewood. Write down Matthew 7:19 and go read it. Because this year is a year where you bearing fruit is extremely significant in the kingdom. In fact, Jesus said, any tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You see, our life doesn't need to be about firewood. It's not about the flash in the pan. It's about the fruit that remains. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about the flash in the pan. It's about the fruit that remains. So fruit becomes greater than firewood. Number six, learn how to clear the clutter out of your life. Remove the excess baggage. Forget those things which are behind. Learn how to do what the Word of God has spoken over our life. He said this in verse 13 of Philippians 3. Brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You got to learn how to forget what's behind. Some of y'all need to clean out your garage. Some of y'all need to clean out your closets. Some of you need to clean out your emotions. Some of you need to clean out your mind. Some of y'all need to clean out your, amen? Sometimes we just need to clear out the clutter. How many of y'all have clutter and baggage hanging around in your life? Okay, everybody else is lying. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't have excess baggage and clutter in our life. And I'm telling you, 2017, guys, this is the word God gave me back in October. Lord spoke to me one day, and it was around the house. I was off one day, and it was about noon. And the Lord says, I want you to clean out your garage. I said, why? He said, because you got to get the junk out of your garage. I said, all right, fine. When? He said, now. Okay. By 3 o'clock, I had rented a storage building. By 7 o'clock, I had the first load in it. That same day. Got up the next morning, got a phone call. Friend of mine says, hey, have you talked to Chuck Pierce lately? I said, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. Why? You need to hear the last word he just came out with yesterday. I said, what was it? He said he was talking about cleaning out your garage. Got up and prophesied about everybody cleaning out their garage. I started laughing. And this is basically what he said. You need to clean out your garage because God is wanting you to clean the clutter out of your life. Get all the stuff out. Guys, listen, we live with so much baggage in our life. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just tell you, today is a day. Listen, we're about the first fruit. Today is the day where we can say to God, 2016 and everything back is over. Get over it and get on with it. This is a day we get over it and we get on with it. Say this with me. I'm going to get over it and I'm going to get on with it. Ooh, that's anointing. I don't care what anybody says. See, you got to get over it. Man, they just, you don't understand. Yes, I do. They're sorry and they did you wrong. Get over it. Well, they hurt my feelings. Well, they could hurt more than that. Get over it. You see, the truth is that if we're ever going to make a difference in the kingdom, we've got to learn how to be able to say, it doesn't matter what people did to me. You know what I found out? What they did to me hurts me more than it hurts them. They could care less about what they've done to me. I'm the one that hurts over it. If I'll forgive it, release it, and get up and go on, I might be able to overcome it. Amen? So you got to get over it and get on with it, guys. Listen, there just comes a time when Paul said, you know what? Forgetting what is behind, I'm laying everything down that ever was. What good, what bad, what indifferent, it don't make any difference. I'm just getting over it. I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. Matthew 9:62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Let me ask this. How many of y'all want to run in the kingdom this year? Quit looking back. Because this is a year of forward momentum where God begins to move us forward and we begin to move out of that place. The clutter is gone. Now, number 7, discover how to unlock prosperity in your life this year. This is a year where you need to discover how to unlock prosperity. You need to get in the Word of God and you need to understand how God says prosperity needs to come to you. Because the Bible is very clear about this. You know, we give our tithes to the Lord. Somebody asked me one day, said, what do you believe about tithing? I said, what do you mean what I believe about tithe? Do you believe that the tithe is holy to the Lord? I said, yeah. I said, do you believe we ought to tithe in the New Testament? I said, yeah, at least. And they said, what do you mean at least? I said, well, in the Old Testament, they gave 10%. In the New Testament, they gave everything. And the guy says, well, okay, I don't need to talk to you about tithing anymore. I said, no, I need to talk to you about giving everything. Let's just go ahead and write out everything that's in your checkbook right now. And basically what he was trying to do was, he was trying to prove me how he didn't have to give to the Lord. And I told him, I said, if you really want to practice New Testament giving, open your checkbook up, find out what the balance is, and write the check out for the balance. And let's see how much we believe God in giving all. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy? A friend of mine, and I'm not telling you to do this, okay? Everybody look at me and say, I know it. I'm not telling you to do this. Say, I know it. I had a friend, he was in a service one time. He had $10,000 in his checking account. And the Lord says, I want you to give an offering today. And he said, well, Lord, okay, how much? He said, $10,000. He said, Lord, that's all I got. He said, that's all I ask. I'm not asking you to give any more than you got. I want you to write a check out for your whole balance. He said, Lord, you mean you want me to give $10,000? I don't know if these people are worth it. He said, I didn't tell you to give it to them. I told you to give it to me. Are you going to give me that $10,000 or not? He wrote out that $10,000 check. Laid it in the offering. Within 4 days, he had $20,000 back in his account. But you know what that $10,000 offering did? It was obedience to the Lord that opened the door to prosperity in his life. Now, I'm not saying you do that. Listen to me. A lot of people will hear that and they'll say, well, let me write out a $10,000 check so I get $20,000. No. You don't understand. Say obedience. Turn to your neighbor and say obedience. Say, he did what God asked. Therefore, the windows of heaven were opened over him. He didn't act in presumption. He did not act in anything except obedience to the Lord. And he gave. And it was amazing what the Lord did in his life just financially. He taught him how to be able to give. And he taught him how to move forward. Learn how to unlock prosperity in your life by giving your tithes, your offerings, your first fruits. We're going to receive a first fruit offering right now. Because today is the first day of the year. And we're going to sow an offering. Here again, it may be $1, $5, $10, $100. It doesn't matter. And I want you to look around, and I want you to ask the person next to you, do you need some offering? Give them an offering if they need an offering today. We're all going to participate in this offering, amen? Because what we're going to do is we're going to present this offering to the Lord for this year's release of prosperity. Can we do that today? Is that all right? Because what we're saying to the Lord is, Lord, I want to honor you. And I'm going to tell you, we're doing this by prophetic decree, not my own, but a friend of mine who called me this morning who confirmed the prophetic word in my life that I got when I woke up that we needed to sow. And Trisha and I are sowing a first fruit offering today for this year in this offering. Amen? So I want the guys to come who's got the offering buckets. Now, Father, we come to bring a first fruit offering to you. Lord, we've had about 15, 20 minutes to think about what we need to give. And Lord, we're going to give. And Lord, we're going to bless you today, Father, because we believe that the first is holy to the Lord. Today is the first day of the year. And Lord, we're going to give this offering knowing that as we give it unto you. Father, we're giving this offering in accountability and honor of your word, Exodus 23. And Father, we say that today because we have the ability to give. We have the blessing. Lord, we want to sow this seed today. We want to sow this seed today, this first fruit offering. And we want to say that, Lord, this year will be different because of this offering we're giving. And Lord, it's not about the amount. It's about the obedience. So God, we're going to give what you tell us to give. And Lord, we're going to be joyful regardless of how much it is. The amount doesn't matter, Lord. What matters is what would you have us to give, to sow to you for this year in a first fruit offering. And so, Father, today we thank you for that. Now, in prayer, before we give, what you need from the Lord right now, I just want you to say, before you give that first fruit offering, I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, I give this first fruit offering for a breakthrough here in my life. Just submit it to the Lord. I give this first fruit offering, Lord, I need this in my life. I'm giving and sowing this to you as an offering unto the Lord. All right, now we're going to receive the offering, all right? And gentlemen, if you would, just take the offering buckets and pass them, and we're just going to receive an offering. And see, what we're doing is we're unlocking. Now, let me make a prophetic decree as you're putting your offerings in here. Father, in Jesus' name, I decree that provision is broken open today in Jesus' name. Father, I decree prophetically as a prophet of the Lord that as we give this first fruit offering to you, God, you're going to begin opening the windows of heaven over our life. Father, you're opening our checkbooks. You're opening our bank accounts. Father, you're opening our retirement accounts, God. You're opening, Father, provision for missions, provision for our local churches, provision for our cities, God. Father, we're giving an offering to you. And Lord, the amount doesn't matter. The obedience is everything. So, Father, we give as unto you, and we honor you today, Lord, because we believe that giving the first fruit offering is unto you. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that Father, as we give today, you're going to open it up. And I say that according to the word of the Lord, that blessing will come and overtake you and that provision is unlocked on your behalf. As you begin to open the windows of heaven, that which you have set your heart toward, that which you have purposed in your heart to the Lord in this offering, may it come now, may it come swiftly, and this year may you see the fruit of that which you are sowing unto the Lord. For God is our provision, not man. And we give to you, God, today because you are faithful. And Lord, there is nothing in this life that will ever set you apart from your faithfulness. Lord, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to tell y'all, y'all can make your checks out to the harbor. All right, bring the offering here if you would. All right. There, go ahead. Whoever needs to give, just keep giving. Okay. Now, sometimes whenever you practice first fruit offering, you got to know how to practice it. So what they did in the book of Acts, They came and they laid the offering at the apostles' feet. And the apostle received the offering with accountability. Amen? So this is what I do when I receive first fruit offerings. Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive these first fruit offerings as holy to you. Lord, they're yours. We receive them with accountability. And Father, we will disperse with accountability your money. And Lord, today, as the apostle over this house, I pray, Lord, that the seed that is sitting at my feet will bring a harvest into those that is sown. Today is the first day of this year. We commit this offering, first fruits, to you, God. It's all first fruits. And Lord, today, as the apostle of the house, I speak blessing over this house. I speak prosperity over this house. I call forth the place of prosperity over the people of this house, that God, they may walk above and not beneath. Lord, that they would be the head and not the tail. And Lord, may they lead. May they be blessed. May they be fruitful and honor you in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how you do first fruits. Amen. And you know, the beauty of it is it's all in the Lord's. It's all to him. You're not sowing to a man. You're sowing to the Lord. But you bring the first to the Lord. So we now, what you just did, you just opened a place of prosperity in your life that was not open when you came in here at 11 o'clock. Amen? Now, I honor the Lord with my tithe. I give my tithe. But there comes a time, this first fruit that Trish and I gave today was not our tithe. I'll be honest with you, I cannot afford to tithe. If I just tithe, I'd be ripping myself off. I'm way past the 10%. But I've learned how, walking in the first fruits, I've learned how to open the provision of heaven over my life. And 2017 is a year where you have to learn how to do that, amen? Learn how to honor God. And learn that Father moves us forward in that. All right, number eight, it's time to develop character and integrity. Let me just say this about this. It's very important. And I've got about two or three more, and then I'm done, all right? You got to understand that what God is doing is he is intent on building character and integrity within the body of Christ. Never in my life have I ever seen a lack of character and integrity as I do in the church today. But I'm telling you, God's strengthening character and integrity beginning this year in the body of Christ. The Lord spoke to me back in November, and he said, you need to say, everywhere you go, beginning in January 1, you need to say, I am building character and integrity in my people again. And God is calling us to a place of integrity and a place of character. You know why? Because we cannot go back. We got to go forward. Amen? Part of going forward means that I walk in the level of integrity and character that God has developed in my life. You know, character and integrity causes me to be able to believe God and to live out his word and have the promises of his word in my life. And I don't have time to teach on character and integrity today, but I believe Apostle Marvin will. But you got to understand, character and integrity is a part of the kingdom. It's a part of who Jesus was. It's a part of life. People need to know that your word is real. They need to know that your word is true. They need to know that your walk with him is important. People need to know that the call that you have on your life from the Lord is something that is holy to the Lord. People need to know that your marriage is holy to the Lord. I'm celebrating 34 years of marriage to a woman, and you know what? Neither one of us have ever had an affair. Can somebody say hallelujah? And guess what? I don't intend to. Because she carries a gun. No, really, she's in covenant. Part of character says, the day we got married, 34 years ago, we got married, I looked at her and I said, from this day forward, I will never look at another woman like I look at you. You'll never have to worry about me wandering. I'll never wander. And you know what? For 34 years, I've remained true. And guess what? I'm going for another 34. My kid says, Dad, are you going to die when you're 75? I said, 120. Don't look back, buddy. You know what? I'm looking forward to another 34 years with this woman. And you know what? I'll be true to her in 34 years. You know why? Because I understand covenant and I understand true character. You know what? We need men and women who learn how to have true character in their marriages. How about to your children? See, I got four kids. I've got three in-laws. I've got a grandchild. You know what? They need to know that Pops is a man of integrity, a man of character, a man they can rely upon, a man that they can come to and receive the counsel of the Lord and know that they will hear the word of the Lord come to life. Character and integrity is extremely important. Guys, do not throw that away from your life. Learn how to embrace that and become that. Number nine, learn how to walk in a new level of authority. This year, and I'm going to say this over the harbor. I'm saying this prophetic word over this house, okay? Say, I'm listening. This year is a new level of authority coming over this congregation of people. For as one of the church in the city, the Lord has chosen to rest upon this house a new level of authority, to call into being those things that are not as though they were, and to be able to release the supernatural ways of the kingdom of heaven in Hammond, Louisiana. This year is a new level of authority. You will have new authority over healings and miracles and signs and wonders. You will have a new level of authority over finance. You will have a new level of authority over commerce. You will have a new level of authority over business. You will have a new level of authority that will overcome. For the Lord has given unto you this city. And as you begin to walk as a congregation, you will see the dynamics of the authority of the kingdom of God. When you walk into places, that authority will be known. Not because you say anything, but because of the atmosphere that is shifted by those that walk in new levels of authority. And because the authority is upon the house, those that join themselves to the house will be able to walk in that same level of authority. It's called authority by association. Somebody asked me one day, he says, man, whenever you come into a place, you carry a level of authority for that place. Why? Because of my association with my apostle, Dutch Sheets. When he laid his hands on me again in July of this past year, he said, Teal, you got a new commission. You got a new level of authority because of that apostolic authority. You know what? I can walk in a place and I have a level of authority in the place. Now, you don't try to rule with that. You serve with that. Amen? I need to quit, but Let me say something about authority. The moment that you begin to rule with authority out of your flesh, you're operating in counterfeit and witchcraft. But as long as you serve out of a position of authority like Jesus Christ, then you will operate in godly authority. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? And give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You know what Jesus did with authority? He served. He took the authority of heaven and he served. And he said, the greatest among you shall be what? Ruler? Servant. Say, sir. Turn to your neighbor and say, servant. Everybody say, servant. Now turn to your neighbor and ask them, who are you serving? Now I'm not going to brag, but I'm going to brag just a minute. Do you know why my marriage is as good as it is 34 years down the road? Because I serve her. And she'll tell you I serve her. And you know what? She serves me better than I serve her. I'm trying to catch up. But I found that the key in any relationship is learning to serve. You know what? Same way. When I walk in a business in this city, you know what? I'm there to serve that business. They're not there to serve me. I'm to serve them. So I go in there. I go in to eat at a restaurant, and I'll try to figure out a way to prophesy to the waitress and the owner and the manager and everybody I can get my mouth on. You know why? Because I need to serve them. I need to bless them. I need to sow into them. I don't need to take from them. Are you kidding me? I receive from the Lord that I may give to mankind. Why? Because the real test of authority is in servanthood. And God's called us to serve. Amen. Is this a good word or what? All right. All right, number 10, the Word of God is our foundation. I don't need to speak much about that. You need to understand whatever the Word of God says, it doesn't matter what you think. Amen? It doesn't matter what your opinion is. What does God's Word say? If it's in black and white, I don't have to pray about it. Amen. If it's in red and white, I sure enough don't have to pray about it. Somebody asked me one time, brought me a scripture, said, I want you to pray about this scripture. I read it, and I said, I don't have to pray about that. Well, I need you to give me an interpretation of that. I read it to him, and I said, that's the interpretation of it. And he looked at me and says, no, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. You don't want to obey what it says, therefore you're looking for an alternate opinion. I'm just telling you right now, if it's in black and white, red and white, do what it says and you'll be blessed. Otherwise, forget it. You're going to be cursed. Amen? How many of y'all know when you live outside obedience, curse will come on you every time? How many of you know whenever you walk in obedience, the blessing of God comes down on the sons of God to obey? Amen? And see, we got to learn how to let the Word of God be my foundation. We're fasting this week, aren't we? Amen? That means Bluebell's off limits for Ron Teal this week. You know why? Because I've committed myself to a fast unto the Lord. So I'm not going to be tempted over Bluebell. Amen? I remember I was a young man, 20 years old. I went and talked to a 70-year-old man, and I said, I'm having a problem with lust. He said, son, don't worry about it. I said, what do you mean don't worry about it? He said, you're lusting over young women. I'm 70 years old. I lust over Bluebell ice cream. You just got to learn how to keep it under the Word. He said, let the Word of God be your foundation. Son, you got to learn how to obey the Word. If you'll obey the Word, you won't have a problem with that ruling over your life. Because the Word of God works every time. Number 11, resurgence of prayer is coming to the church in America in 2017. Dutch and I were talking about this about 3 months ago. And then we were together about 2 weeks ago. And he looked at me and said, I'm just telling you right now, there is a resurgence of the prayer movement in America. We're beginning to see prayer begin to come front row center again in the church of America. Guys, whatever you do, strengthen your times of prayer. Deepen your times of prayer. Empower your times of prayer. I'm looking forward to being around here praying this week because I had a Bethel over there a couple of years ago. How many of y'all know what a Bethel is? How many of y'all know what a Bethel is? A Bethel is a place you encounter God. Bethel is that place where you encounter the Lord when you weren't expecting to encounter God. Has the Lord ever slipped up on anybody in here? I come in here one day, and I remember it's you and I and Jonathan were here. I think maybe Tim came through. I slipped over there and just had a Bethel, didn't I? Just in the floor snotting and slobbering. It was crazy. I'm like, Lord, God, I got up off the floor, and I said, Lord, met me right here. Changed my life. You see, look for your Bethels, guys. You got to look and say, God, I want a Bethel. Why? Because the resurgence of prayer and intimacy and communion with the Father is coming over us. Here's the last thing I want to give you. What you dwell on this year is where you will live. What you dwell on this year is where you will live. This is what Paul said, not that I've already attained it or already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which I've laid hold of in Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. The word perfect didn't mean sinless, it meant complete. Let as many as us are complete in the Lord have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you anyway. Revelation is going to come. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Do you know what that verse means? Don't fall back. Hold your ground and get in momentum. Hold your ground. Learn how to forget what is behind. Learn how to reach ahead to what is before you. Don't set 2017 by looking through your rearview mirror. Set 2017 as looking through the windshield of your life. Look at this year and understand God's called you to something greater. You got to forget what's behind you, and you got to press toward the goal and the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, what is ahead of you is greater than what is behind you. But if you dwell on what is behind you and you live there, you will never get to where God wants you to be. What you dwell on is where you will live. I can preach myself happy on that one. What you think about, what you let your emotions settle on, what you let your life dwell, what you dwell on is where you're going to live. So I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you want to live this year? Where do you want to live this year? I'm living in the portal of vision, in the well of revival, and the place of prosperity. Would you like to come with me? See, what you dwell on is where you live. Oh, you just don't understand how many bills I got and how bad it is. What you dwell on is where you'll live. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, come out of it. What you dwell on is where you're going to live. Well, I don't feel good today. I'm telling my body, you line up in Jesus' name. I went to the doctor the day after Thanksgiving. He looked at me and said, your blood pressure is 179 over 133. And I said, not for long. He said, you're about to have it. And I said, don't you let that come out of your mouth, because you will not curse me with your words. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. My blood pressure will drop. And you know what? 21 pounds later, it's on the way down. Yeah. How many of y'all know that faith works when you put works with your faith? I had faith to drop my blood pressure, and I quit shoving stuff in my mouth like Twinkies and ding-dongs. Found out broccoli's pretty sweet sometimes. What you dwell on is where you live. I won't pray over you. But I believe God's doing something in us. We just got through sowing our first fruit seed for this year. And many of you are going to sow other first fruits this year. When you get in this first fruit thing, man, when you see a need, you'll learn to sow for it. You know why? Because you put God in control. You just sowed. How many of you guys this year want to live in the portal of vision, the well of revival, and the place of prosperity? I want you to stand to your feet if that's where you want to live. And we're going in a few minutes, we're going to have ministry and pray for you. I'm going to prophesy to several of you guys. But this is an altar call to bring us to this place of moving us where God wants us to be prophetically. I want you to say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Your word is true. Lord, even when I'm faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And today I'm standing in the congregation of believers. Today I have sown a seed, a first fruit on this first day of the year, and I call 2017 holy to the Lord. I commit this year as holy to you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I choose to live in the portal of your vision, in the well of your revival, and in the place of your prosperity. Lord, I don't take lightly where we are today. This is holy to you. Father, as a child, I believe. My faith is in you, God. I will not dwell in the negative, the critical, nor the past. But I will live in 2017 in forward momentum. Lord, you're calling us to momentum. This will be my best year ever. God, I will abound. I'll be blessed. I will serve. I'll pour my life out. It's going to be the greatest year of my life because of you, God. So, Lord, I commit this year. It's yours. Lord, we stand today, God, as sons and daughters. It's yours. It's yours, Lord.